We'll program the rain report for December 17, 2011 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, where Santa has been conspicuous by his absence the past couple of years, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this week's rain report. For decades, the Japanese cornered the ham radio HF, VHF, and UHF market, playing a major role in forcing familiar American brands of the 70s and 80s out of the industry. Names like Drake, Swan, National, Hallicrafters, World Radio Labs, Heathkit, Galaxy, Nightkit, and even Collins. However, the Land of the Rising Sun juggernaut is now being challenged by another Asian power, China. In a recent conversation with Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, writer and ham radio educator Gordon West, WB6NOA, talked about the Chinese radio controversy.
Certainly, the Chinese radio is a hugely controversial subject. We've seen them popping up everywhere, which is pretty common when you see a country begin to flood the USA with a product and they're looking for any type of sales. I mean, they were available from individuals that would place an order for 20 or 30 of these radios. They're inexpensive. There's one coming in now, begins with the letter B Bravo. The single band sells for $49 with 100 channels of memory, 2 watts out. Lithium ion battery at 1800 milliamps. That's pretty healthy. The dual band sells for about $89. The Wushan radio, and I know that's not the way you pronounce it. It starts with the letter W-O-U-X, and I'll let you folks figure it out. That radio is seen selling anywhere from $109 to $119. The radios themselves are not bad. I like the audio out of that W radio. It's loud. Also, the TYT radio, similar to the W and the B radio, has good audio out. The radios hold 100 channels. They come unprogrammed, and they come in under Part 90 Land Mobile FCC authorization. The radios, as they hit the country, may or may not be specifically tuned to the ham band, so they might not be the cleanest on 2 meters or 440 with their second harmonic. Certainly, 2 meters is always a great concern. These radios are now being sold by even some of the big ham radio stores like AES and Ham Radio Outlet, and they're sold at a ridiculously low price. It's a low margin. And when the user gets this Chinese radio home and turns it on, certainly the volume is loud and it's got a little flashlight built into it. And then, well, how do I program it? Well, the instruction book pretty well leads that user to go back to the ham store and buy a programming kit, because to program it by hand is labor-intensive. In fact, some of them, you really can't program them by hand because there's no keypad. So maybe they'll drop in 146.52, but when they go to drop in a repeater, they've got to actually spell out the offset in kilohertz or 0.6 megahertz. They've got to go in there with a subaudible tone, both for encode and decode, and turn the tone on. And then they need to layer this, and then they need to memorize it. And it's a pretty big deal, but on a computer, it loads right in quite quickly. So I would caution our users and listeners that if you're going to get the Chinese handheld, first explore rigs from Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, and Olenco and see that they're not much more expensive and they program off the keypad slick as can be. The new Chinese radios have restricted programming, and here's why, Hap. The radio is Part 90. Part 90 rules for the Land Mobile Radio Service say that the end user cannot be able to, via keypad or any other scheme, change frequencies that are not already pre-memorized in the radio by the authorized agency selling the radio. Number two, it says that there'll be no programming software readily available out there to plug into the radio and have it do things that it's not intended to do, like transmitting on an FBI frequency. So this two issue right here is a borderline area, as to these incoming radios being perfectly legal after they get the keyboard turned on for the hams to begin to use it. Now it's no longer a Part 90 radio, yet it came in as a Part 90 radio. And what happens when you change a Part 90 radio to a non-Part 90 radio? These are all issues that some of the respected manufacturers, Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, Olinco, with Japanese handhelds, are looking to the FCC for answers. So, yep, as a secondary or a third radio, I have one and I use it in the classroom for demonstration just because it's so loud. I can turn the volume up and they can hear it in the back of the room for my demos. But I had to have a group that I got it from PowerWorks out here in California do the pre-programming. And then I found out that PowerWorks says, well, anybody give us a big order and we'll pre-program them for East Coast frequencies or West Coast frequencies or New York City frequencies. So we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen with the Chinese handhelds. But they're here. They are not junk. I doubt that they'll actually be serviced by any USA service facility other than maybe a knob that falls off. Some pretty good deals that if your radio breaks from your Chinese supplier, they'll just give you a new one. And I don't know how long that's for, but interesting. But believe me, Hap, it is a controversial issue. And the big four, Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, and Olinco, are standing fast with their regular pricing, although Yaesu has reduced some prices. And they maintain that with a Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, or Olinco product, you've got the backup, the service, the repair capability, and you know that you're getting a radio from someone who is supporting actively the amateur radio service, which those big four are when you see them at every ham fest and see them just making things happen in ham radio.
You're listening to a conversation Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, had with ham radio writer and educator Gordon West, WB6NOA, about the Chinese radio controversy. You're online with The Rain Report, now on Twitter, at twitter.com/TheRainReport.
Competition is a great thing. It's what makes capitalism work. However, when it's competition that is conducted unfairly.
One must wonder when all the accessories for our Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, and Olinco, many of these accessories fit perfectly into these other unique radios. Although I've been assured that the radios are far enough different that they aren't exact clones. Good for those incoming radios not being precise clones.
The price is what concerns me. There's not that much markup on the major handhelds and the major HF ham radios that they can really do much more cutting the price than what they already are.
That's correct. In fact, the dealers that sell VHF, UHF radios, and even many mobile radios are making maybe $5 to $15 per radio. And you know what? I've told the dealers, I said, hey, I've got this great idea. And some of the dealers, Ham Radio Outlet here in Southern California, have taken me up on this. I said, let's pre-program the area local club frequencies so that the brand new ham buying this radio, new to ham radio, got out of a Gordo class or someone's class, can go in there, turn the radio on after they take it home, have the battery somewhat charged, and begin turning the dial, and pre-memorized are the top 20, the top 40 local repeaters and simplex and maybe the weather channels, so they actually can begin to hear some of the local clubs rolling net saying, tomorrow night at the Elmhurst Amateur Radio Club facility at the Beambrook Library, we're going to be talking about programming handhelds. And all of you listening in with your new handhelds, you're invited. Wow, the clubs make out. The dealers make out because they now have a very happy customer. And the whole ham radio service makes out because prior to programming, students would take this equipment home. It would come up on 146 or 446. They would become frustrated that, hey, nobody sold me a repeater directory, and with 85 listings for Orange County, California, what's the good repeaters? So this is a win-win on the amateur radio dealer pre-programming channels for those new students and getting them on the air listening to their local clubs and then they can maybe join that club and help our service grow. One additional thing, the ham radio dealers could actually make more money in selling, let's say, a $25 load for that radio than if they were to just make $12 on the markup of the radio. So they could actually ask for a little higher price on the radio, or they can take it raw without any channels, and I bet many students, I would certainly recommend it, would pay $20 to $25 to get a full load of channels.
That's a great gimmick, and I'm really pleased to hear that that's going to, I think, help ham retailers get a leg up on the competition, especially that coming from China.
In fact, we know that this preloading is such a hit that look at Uniden Bearcat with their new scanner that you just punch in your zip code, and presto, it knows all of the local trunked radio systems in the area. I'm wondering when we're going to see Kenwood, Yaesu, and ICOM all have equipment with GPS capabilities. Kenwood and Yaesu, it built in. ICOM has a brand new one with a GPS built in. I'm wondering when we're going to see a ham radio come in with 1,000 channels of memory, and via the GPS location, the unit will find itself geodetically and then say, oh, I'm in Olathe, Kansas. Let's load in the local channels out 100 miles from my center position. I think that's coming.
The thoughts of ham radio educator and author Gordon West, WB6NOA, on the Chinese radio controversy. Editor's note. Gordo's strategy of ham radio retailers providing programming of their ham radios with local repeaters, NOAA weather broadcasts, APRS, etc., for a nominal fee is a pragmatic approach to countering the cheap Chinese imports. Let's revisit this issue in 5 years and see how the strategy will have panned out. The Rain Report is copyright 1990, 2011, Rain. All rights reserved. Now for all those connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.